When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Let's spend a minute on Zach Wilson, then the NFL draft. So, I mean, I know we talked about it during the CMT, but man, oh man. I mean, and no one expected this to be the case. What an absolute disaster this whole thing with Zach Wilson was, huh?
It was a disaster, yeah.
I mean, a disaster.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you look at that year's draft and that quarterback class, I mean, didn't really work out for anyone.
None of them.
But Jacksonville so far.
And he has not lived up to what you thought he would be.
No, I mean, he was good until the injury last season, and then their season kind of fell apart. Not kind of, but fell apart.
Right, but people thought that he was going to be like a legendary quarterback,
right.
A great quarterback. He hasn't been great, and the other guys have stunk.
Well, the other guys aren't on their teams anymore.
Right.
I mean, Justin Fields got traded, and Mac Jones is gone. Zach Wilson is gone. Trey Lance traded, gone. I mean, that's sad. Listen, that's the hard
part.
That's
the risk you run when you go after a quarterback in the first round.
Right, so you see what happens when it doesn't work out.
Okay, so obviously the regime in San Francisco is still intact because they found the quarterback even though they kind of went around it an odd way. Mac Jones, so all right, Belichick gone.
Yep.
Who else was there in that draft? Zach Wilson. So those guys are still there, amazingly enough.
Because they have Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
Right. Who else? What other quarterbacks?
Justin Fields.
That's not the same coach, right?
No, they get Eberflus now.
Right, so they've made a change there. I mean, it really is a franchise killer. If you take that quarterback and you miss on him, it sets the franchise so far back.
Right, and I think fortunately for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, especially Joe Douglas, is that he's made, you know, outside of the Zach Wilson miss and the Mekhi Becton didn't work out. I mean, you have the Sauce Gardners and the Garrett Wilsons and the Jermaine Johnsons and the Breece Halls. I mean, they've done a good job of building a really good defense, and they have some good offensive weapons, so they felt like, hey, we have enough here if we can figure out who the quarterback is going to be, end up getting Aaron Rodgers, and now he's the reason why they still have jobs.
That's right. Because he likes them. If he didn't like them, they wouldn't have jobs.
Well, he likes the setup.
Well, he likes the fact that they give him kind of carte blanche to make a lot of decisions.
Right.
And kind of, you know, quasi-run the organization.
Right. I think in a quiet moment, if you asked him, truthfully, do you think that you're in a game against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and Andy Reid, that Robert Saleh has the ability to outcoach Andy Reid, or Nathaniel Hackett has the ability to put you in a place like to do things as a coach that can help you win a championship? Come on.
Yeah, the answer is probably no.
No, he has supreme confidence in himself and he likes how things are set up right now.
That's right. It's comfortable for him. So obviously, Zach Wilson, that's over. It was the Jets just, they can't draft a quarterback, huh?
They cannot draft and develop a quarterback, no. It has not worked out.
I mean, what was the last time the Jets drafted a quarterback that for the Jets was good? Chad Pennington?
Pennington.
So we're talking about 25 years ago.
Right, Hackenberg didn't work out. Geno Smith didn't work out.
What was the kid from Baylor? Bryce Petty?
Bryce Petty did not work out. For some reason, they drafted James Morgan in the fifth round.
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't.
No, I know. I just don't know. Right.
But Sam Darnold, obviously.
They'll probably draft a quarterback at some point this year in this draft, later in the draft,
yeah,
I would think.
Yeah, maybe so. God, I don't know that I've ever seen a team. The Bears have never had success with quarterbacks either, right?
Certain teams just don't, that aren't good at it.
Like, when you look at the greatest quarterback in Bears history, it's like Sid Luckman. You go back to, you know, forever ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why everyone in Chicago is so excited that they're going to get a chance to draft Caleb Williams.
Yeah, well, it's important for them. So then, and I know you heard the same thing, sounds like the Giants are actively, aggressively trying to find a way to move up in this draft.
And it sounds like Drake May is who they're trying to trade up for.
Because he, And again, I know there's a lot of people that don't like Drake May, but he kind of gives off maybe Josh Allen light kind of vibes to this regime.
Probably. I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, it sounds like Minnesota's probably, I would assume, interested in Drake May too because of the Josh McCown connection. Here's the thing. Every report I read is, and we've talked about this a couple different times, it sounds like part of the reason why Jerod Mayo was hired and they went with Eli Wolf was because ownership wants more of a say in what happens. In an article I read yesterday or whatever I read yesterday says that they want to take a quarterback. They brought in Penix late as part of their, you know, 30 official visits. In case they do trade down, they still want to get a quarterback. I mean, I know Minnesota has more to offer potentially, but now you're talking about going from 3 to 11 as opposed from 3 to 6.
Yeah, but what are you going to get at 11?
Well, that's what I mean. It could be part of the reason why they brought Penix in, right? Because the Jets aren't drafting a quarterback, and then you get into that, you know, where if Minnesota's already up, you got Denver and Vegas to worry about. So you could still get Penix. I would say you're better off going 3 to 6, and now you could still move up from 6 to 4 if you wanted to make sure you get whoever that fourth quarterback is still left, unless you like Penix better than J.J. McCarthy.
Well, if you like Penix, you're not going to need to take him 6, right? Then maybe you could trade down to 11.
Right. You just have, the fear would be, I saw a report, I think Shefty said on McAfee, that the medicals for a lot of teams with Penix, he's clean bill of health.
Right. No issues whatsoever.
No issue at all.
I saw that as well.
So you're going to have Denver and Vegas. You got the Giants now, who sounds like they're actively trying to get up to 3.
Broncos, right? We had the report yesterday Broncos, said they're willing to give up whatever it takes to move
Vegas,
up and get the quarterback.
Vegas and Minnesota. So those 4 teams.
So if you are the Arizona or the Chargers of this draft, you love it. Because New England needs a quarterback.
Yes.
But if you're Arizona, you're sticking with Kyler Murray and you're the Chargers, you're certainly sticking with Justin Herbert. Now you're sitting pretty. Because your draft slot is a tremendous commodity with some of these teams.
Yeah, but it depends. I mean, it depends on how. Oh, by the way, have you seen the behind the scenes footage of Arizona's GM working the phones from last
No.
year's draft?
No,
it is. You got to check it out. It is. You would love it.
What? He's just like joggling the phones.
Oh, he's on the phone. Hey, you still want to do this for what? And hold on one sec. Okay, I'll get back to you. And he's got his guys putting up on the board.
This is awesome for it, right?
Yeah, awesome. I think it's going to depend on how attached to Marvin Harrison Jr. are the Cardinals. Like, are they hell-bent on taking him?
I mean, he's terrific. But is it worth? I mean, because people love Neighbors. They think Neighbors is just going to be sensational. So do you move to 6 and stockpile picks? And then take a receiver that everyone thinks is going to be a star anyway? Or does it have to be Marvin Harrison?
Right, or do you move to 11? Because now if you're at 11, you're probably not going to get those top 3.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, 11 is even unless, I mean, if they offer you a boatload, but you're moving to 11 and you're not getting one of those elite wide receivers, you can't get them there.
No, but it feels like if somebody trades up, or if New England takes quarterback at 3, you go Williams, we'll say Daniels, and then whoever goes 3. You're still probably going to have a team that wants to trade up to 4.
For the quarterback. Right.
And then it depends on which one of those teams, because you're right. If Arizona loves the idea, if it's not Marvin Harrison, it's Neighbors or it's Adunze, you start trading past 11, you're not going to get one of those guys.
No, there's no chance. I think if you go behind the Jets, you're not going to get one of those guys.
Oh, it sounds like the Jets may actually consider trying to get to 8.
If one of those guys is available.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
To get up ahead of Chicago. This draft could be wild.
Oh, I think it's going to. Because you have teams that are in spots of real power that don't need the quarterback. Like, if you're the Chargers and you need so much, doesn't it really make sense for you to trade back?
Yes.
I mean, you need a receiver desperately.
Well, I think it, but here's the thing, though. For them, it depends on what's the gap between Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, one of those 3 that you love, and then all the other wide receivers. Because you just lost Justin Herbert's security blanket in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
Right. Well, the thing is, Mike Williams is always hurt, right? So he didn't play the bulk of last season, so he was used to not playing with him. But you're right, Keenan Allen's a huge loss. And it's not like the kid from TCU, Quentin Johnson, did much of anything last year.
Right. So do you think that if we wait, accumulate more picks, find a receiver, because this is a really good receiver draft, is that kid going to turn into an elite wide receiver or just be a good wide receiver? Because from everything we've been told, the top three are going to be elite receivers.
I think if you want a receiver, you have to get one of the top three, or you might as well trade all the way back.
Right. Because there's tons of depth with
exactly.
the receiver.
Exactly. There's a ton of depth with wide receiver and offensive line in this draft.
Yeah, they said, God, who was it yesterday I was listening to? Said, similar to what we said yesterday, is the drop-off from the top receivers to the rest isn't nearly as big as the drop-off from, like, the top 10 offensive linemen to everybody else. There's a bigger gap between those 10 offensive linemen and everyone else.
But top 10 offensive linemen, that's going to take a while to go, right? You're still going to, late in the first round, you'll probably be able to get one of the better offensive linemen.
Right, but you're not going to wait. You're not going to say, hey, I'll take my receiver with the first-round pick and then wait and try to get a really good offensive lineman in the second round pick.
No, probably doesn't sit there at that point. Tim McGraw is coming to UBS Arena Thursday, May the 9th. B caller, what number strikes your fancy this morning?
Ooh, that's a good question, David. In honor of Zach Wilson, one last time, let's go with caller number 2.
Oh, that's nice. You want to take a moment?
They're already fighting over his number.
What number does he want? Does no, wear two? Is that the
He's not going to wear number 2. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No, they're not his number. They're fighting over
the Jets. Jets.
The Jets want 2.
Who wants 2?
DJ Reed tweeted it.
And who else wants it?
I don't know, because he had said, do I stick with 4 or go with 2? And then tweeted, well, it looks like 2 is already spoken for.
Wonder who took it.
They couldn't wait to get
somebody wants 2.
They couldn't wait to get his number. Get that guy out of here.
Get him out of here. And it's like sharks in the water.
The body is still warm.
Anyhow, right now, caller 2 is going to score a pair of tickets to see Tim McGraw. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com. All right, it's been too long. We got to get back to your Knicks calls. And then Field Yates is going to join us at 845, 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, look, another read for me. The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Bet on three-pointers made in Suns T-Wolves or over-under point totals for Pacers Bucks, first basket scorer in Mavs Clippers, and so much more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rick to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Feels like it's been quite some time since we've talked Knicks, and let's bring it back to the fans. 1-800-919-3776. Let's get to the callers because Field Yates, the great Field Yates, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Let's go to Aaron in Saratoga. Hi, Aaron. You're next up on 98.7.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, buddy?
Really excited about last night's game after watching the way it finished, so I just wanted to talk about a couple positive things from then. Jalen Brunson not really doing what Jalen Brunson usually does. Could be concerning, but stars show up when it really matters. And at the end there, even after missing that step back three, he still stepped up without hesitation and was part of that huge six-point swing at the end, making that shot.
So couple things. You're right. It was a huge shot, and it wasn't like pure, but it went in. And does it make you feel better at all that he's not playing very well and you're still beating Philadelphia, though?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's great. Even if he's not putting up, you know, 40 points, when the game's on the line there and at the end, he's still going to be your superstar, step up, make the shots that he needs to. So he's still a star.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Thanks for the call, Aaron. But, Rick, he hasn't played well, and I think that's a bad thing, but you can maybe almost flip that to be a good thing. Like, having had him play so – because he has not played well in two games – getting subpar performance for what you anticipate from Jalen Brunson and still being up 2-0 in the series is somewhat remarkable.
Right, it's remarkable, and it's a good thing if he figures it out.
That's right. Well, of course, if he goes shooting 25% for the remainder of the postseason, there's not going to be a very long runway for the remainder of the postseason.
That's right. Like, yeah, right now it's great, but could you imagine what the conversation would be today if they didn't find a way to overcome that 5-point
deficit? How long do you think the leash could, because you see now, that, you know, Aaron Judge will go right after him. If the Knicks would have lost last night, how many calls do you think we're taking today on Jalen Brunson just not a big playoff performer?
Well, no, because you saw Aaron Judge. Now, I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. Like I said, if it was the playoffs and he struggled again, I could see booing him because you'd be frustrated. Jalen Brunson was great in the playoffs last year for us. When Luka went down in Dallas, he was great in the playoffs. So he has a track record of being really good in the playoffs. He's in a spot now, though, where it's him and then guys. Now they're all, in their roles, really good, but it's not like he has a proven, you know, Robin or 1B. Like right now,
but,
like
but
right
that
now, you,
Robin last night, who we've said is kind of DiVincenzo, was really good last night.
Right. But if I were to ask you after watching the first two games, who are the two best players in the series right now?
For both teams combined?
Yeah.
Embiid and Maxey.
Okay. So usually how it works in the NBA is if you have the two best players on a nightly basis, you're most likely going to win the series.
Yeah, that's what makes the Knicks up 2-0 so remarkable right now.
Right, which is a great story unless he doesn't
unless it continues.
Yes.
Yes, agreed. You're right. You're 100% right. 1-800-919-3776. Life, which is a great name, in Queens. Good morning, Life.
Good morning. Good morning. How you gentlemen doing?
Good. Your given name is Life?
Given name, Life.
That's awesome.
That's right. I'm the life of the party, baby.
I love it. All right, what do you got?
I like Life cereal. It's delicious.
It is. It is. I like the board game, Life.
Well, I like Life the car.
Wow. Okay, yeah. we can do this all day, I guess.
I guess. But let's not. What do you got, Life?
This is what I want to talk about. I keep hearing this same thing being said over and over again. Jalen Brunson's not playing well. He's in a slump. He's not doing well. Jalen Brunson's still putting up 20-plus points and still contributing to the game while he's being doubled and triple-teamed every time he's on the floor.
But Life is shooting 1,000 shots. I mean, this is not an efficient 23 points or whatever. This is the exact opposite of that.
He was 8-29 last night, Life.
All right. But you gotta think about this. With all the pressure that's on him with the double teams, not the game, not the playoffs, but everything going on, that may be a contributing factor. So I'll give you that one. But he's still putting up 20-plus points. And the rest of the team is contributing. So is he doing really that bad when he's still making sure that his other players around him are better?
No, no, no. he's not playing well. I mean, I get it. You want to defend him. I love him as well. You can't. And again, game one, I think there was a lot of, well, wasn't that bad, and maybe game one wasn't that bad. What was he last night?
He was 8 of 29.
8 of 29? Yeah. Come on, man. You talk about 25% shooting from the floor.
Almost 28%, yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying, though.
For the series, he's 16 of 55.
I mean, come on.
2 of 12 from 3.
Yeah, shooting 30% from the floor.
Dude, this is what happens when you play as well as Jalen Brunson has played this season.
Yeah, the game plan for Philadelphia has been to slow down Jalen Brunson. I'm not saying I don't understand why it's been kind of a slog for him, but you can't defend what he's done in these two games.
No, but I think you also understand why, for all the people that said this is a better team without Julius Randle, I think you're crazy.
I think that's accurate. I do. Let's go to Wes in Fort Myers. Hi, Wesley.
Oh, my God. It's been so long since I talked to you guys. How are you?
Well, whose fault is that, Wes? Whose fault is that?
It's mine. It's mine. And I'm so sorry. I've missed you guys, and I've always listened. You know you guys are my favorite. I think the last time we spoke was a year ago after I got out the hospital. It's crazy.
Well, what do you got today? You must be in a good way after that Knicks win last night.
Oh, my God. I almost walked. There was a pillow under me. My butt was clenched. I almost walked off with the pillow. That's how hard. The game was, it was so crazy. I told my girl, I'm like, just go to sleep. I'm going to watch this game. There's 3 minutes left. You know, what was it? They hit that three. I forget who it was. I'm like, oh, man. I texted my friend. Maxi. I have a Philly shout out chef. He's a Phillies fan, Eagles fan. You know, I don't even know why I'm friends with the guy, right? And I text him. I'm like, Maxi just won it for y'all. And then later on, I'm like, whoa, Ben Stiller's going crazy. Carmelo's going crazy. I'm going crazy. My dog's looking at me like, what is going on? Let's go Knicks, baby. I love y'all.
Special.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for the call, as always, Wes. No, it was really special. It was one of those games. We've had guys that said they've been watching the Knicks since the mid-60s saying, you will remember this in 50 years from now. That's the level of magnitude of this game last night. It was that special.
You're down 5 with 47 seconds left.
Right. And you hit a three. Barely hit a three. It bounces up and bounces in. And then you wind up with a steal. And then you take a three and you miss it. And then you get an offensive rebound and you knock another one home. And then how about Mike Breen's call, by the way, the double bang?
Oh, it was great.
Oh, it was so good. And did you hear DiVincenzo post game when they were talking to him? And he's like, listen to this.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Listen to this.
No, you can't beat that atmosphere.
So losing here is hard and difficult and all those things. But winning here, there is nothing like it.
No, there's nothing like it.
Nothing like it. Evan in Queens. Good morning, Ev.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about what is Brunson doing. I think 8 for 29 is absolutely ridiculous. Why not feed Hartenstein the ball some more? He shot 7 from 8. Those floaters were working. You got to make Embiid move more and defend more. He just looks slow to get to him. So why not feed him the ball some more?
Well, how much are you going to feed the ball? I mean, you're not going to run your offense through Isaiah Hartenstein. You're happy he was 7 for 7 in the second half. Floater was working. I mean, it was automatic in the second half. But, I mean, if, again, to the point that Dave keeps making, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, Jalen Brunson is going to have to find a way to get himself going.
Right. He has to. And he's not going to defer to Hartenstein. And thanks for the call. They're not going to start. I mean, he's got no low post game. He's a one-trick pony, right? He can finish around the rim.
Well, that's the thing. See, that's the – and herein lies the problem, right? It's like – you know, two callers ago or whatever is, you know, and I love the fact that we're defending Jalen Brunson. I would do the same. I love him. That the entire focus of the defense is we need to shut Jalen Brunson down. I get it, and that's a lot to deal with. The problem they have now is I'm sure Tom Thibodeau was saying the same thing about Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. We got to shut them down. Well, you can shut one down, but, hey, we still have to worry about the other one. Jalen Brunson doesn't really have the luxury of that. Like, who else on this team can create?
No one.
Can create their own offense.
No one.
I guess Deuce he can.
No one. I guess he can, but no. They don't have a second create your own shot option. They have other guys that can score, but not similar to Brunson.
No. And I'm sure Nick Nurse is losing his mind because, like every coach would tell you, if we shut down this guy, then we'll take our chances with everyone else. And fortunately for us, it's the
everyone else has been good enough to get them the win. But no, they've had trouble scoring. You can see what their plan is.
Right, but I mean, listen, again. So you had Josh Hart in the first half. What's been impressive too is some of the things that we talked about going into the series that could cause the Knicks problems. Like, well, what happens when Jalen Brunson's on the bench? Well, last night Jalen Brunson on the bench is when you got to the 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. It wasn't until he came back that all of a sudden that thing disappeared.
Right, and then it became difficult. All right, we'll get back to the Knicks. Big 9 o'clock hour surrounding the Knicks, but Field Yates, who's always got some nuggets and knowledge, will join us next right here. Where else would it be? But 98.7 ESPN. All right, the New York Rangers are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's time to take the ice for playoff action with BetMGM. An official sports betting partner of the NHL, BetMGM has you covered with countless betting options for hockey, including same-game parlays, props, teasers, live bets, so much more, with a new and improved app that makes betting faster and even easier than ever, and special offers for Rangers fans. It's no wonder BetMGM is just the king of all sportsbooks. If you love hard-hitting hockey action, you're going to love wagering at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of the excitement as the Rangers return to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Light the lamp with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Rangers. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus years of age to wager and physically present in New York and New Jersey only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 878-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All right, now, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. So, Rick, how about this? It was just brought to my attention. Field Yates is going to join us, which I've known and I'm excited about and have been all morning. Today's his birthday.
Look at this guy taking time out of his birthday to join the show.
Yeah, that's right. Let's bring him in, the birthday boy. He doesn't look a day over, I'd say, probably 30. It's unbelievable.
30?
It's actually unfair how youthful he looks. 25-ish. Yeah, maybe. And that's the great, handsome Field Yates. Happy birthday, Field.
I'll go with 25 or 30, guys. I'm cool with that. Let's split the difference and round down and go with 27, and nobody else shall ask how old I am for the rest of the day.
Fair enough. A 27-year-old, just turning 27, newly minted 27-year-old, Field Yates joins the show,
like,
of course.
Mid-20s as far as I'm concerned. Maybe even early 20s.
Yeah. I mean, you'd probably still go to fraternity parties and get away with it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not?
I think so. All right, so the First Draft podcast, we love it. It's you, it's Mel. You guys are phenomenal. We love Mel as well. We started to hear real rumblings about the Giants moving up to 3, 4, maybe even 5 to get that quarterback. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think it's like sort of a blend of what I'm hearing versus what I think will end up happening, guys, because the reality of the pre-draft process is that and I thought it was actually great when Belichick mentioned this on Pat McAfee's show last week, and I'm sure Belichick will bring the house down Thursday night during the draft broadcast. But he was talking about how, like, you know, you see all this stuff that's floated out there, and he thinks, you know, the majority of it is driven by agents. And teams are not going to reveal anything, right? You know, what's the value? What's the incentive for a team to show its cards publicly prior to the draft? So I take everything with a grain of salt. I have landed here on the Giants, and whether they will or whether they won't move up is this. The Giants, if they're going to do this, need to do it on their terms. What I mean by that is if Arizona calls and says, hey, you want to come up to four? Give us your 2025 first-round pick, and we'll talk business. And the Giants, I don't think, can justify paying that cost to move up from 6 to 4. If there is a deal that's less than that, that the Giants feel is favorable, then I would consider it. But I, in my heart of hearts, believe the Giants' best course of action is to sit there at number 6 overall, and if J.J. McCarthy makes it to them, have a thoughtful conversation about whether you should take him, and then obviously move on from Daniel Jones, most likely after this season, or if you just take Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, who I think will be there waiting for them at pick number 6, because each of those players absolutely merits a 6th overall pick, regardless of which team is taking that player, regardless of what has happened before in those first 5 picks, I'd be all in on either of those wideouts at number 6.
Field, how, and again, you just mentioned, you referenced Belichick talking about, you know, agents being involved in this. This is called lying season for a reason. But, I mean, the report that came out that Jaden Daniels wasn't happy with how his official visit to Washington was handled. He thought he'd have some more, you know, one-on-one time. That didn't happen. I mean, is there a chance that Daniels doesn't go to Washington?
I think they end up finding some harmony there between the two sides. And, you know, it was so interesting because, well, I did mention that, you know, we just referenced that a lot of this can be lying season. Like, his agent was the one that stoked the flame there, right? I mean, his agent took to Twitter and gave the emoji when quote tweeting, I think it was a video from PFT Live with Florian Sims. So he was the one that added fuel to that fire. I think, though, that push comes to shove. They still ended up taking Jaden Daniels number 2 overall. I think that while a week in a lot of phases of life, like when you're on vacation or have some relaxation available, a week feels like it flies. I feel like during the draft cycle, a week is like a month. So a week between those visits when they went there to D.C., whatever it was, last Monday or Tuesday, and this Thursday night, that's plenty of time for the two sides to figure out whatever it is they may or may not need to figure out. So I think Jaden Daniels ends up going number 2. And then I think it gets more interesting at number 3 with the Patriots and whether they take Drake May or do something different.
He is the birthday boy, Field Yates, joining us here, breaking down the NFL draft. So you talk about Giants may not want to give up next year's number 1, which I do completely understand. Isn't the Giants, like, if you are the Chargers or the Cardinals, isn't the Giants pick at 6 more attractive for you than, say, the Vikings at 11 or the Raiders in the teens? Like, if you want one of those elite receivers in your Arizona, wouldn't you prefer to make a trade with the Giants solely because you can still get Malik Nabers, like guarantee getting Malik Nabers if the Giants move up and want that quarterback?
No doubt about it. But that number 6 pick should have significant allure to the Arizona Cardinals, with a caveat, is that if it's 6 and not enough to outweigh 11, 23, and potentially a 1 next year, then it's a different conversation. But yes, I hear you on that. Like, it's possible the Giants could go into negotiations with the Cardinals with a touch more leverage than the Vikings do, even if the Vikings have a higher volume package to offer. Because you're right, and I urge people to be very cautious in terms of looking at the trade charts when we're talking about deals this high in the order. The further away from pick number 1 we get, the more value those trade charts have. Like, when teams are negotiating a 5th for a 7th plus something else, that trade value chart, I think, ends up becoming a lot more valuable. But there are so many more dynamics in play. So that would be a bullet point in the favor of the Giants on the pros and cons list, is that if Arizona goes from 4 to 6, or the Chargers go from 5 to 6, which I'm not sure I totally buy a one slot trade down, but it's possible, they still are assured of one of those 3 wide receivers, because I don't know exactly how things are going to look at pick number 3 with the Patriots, but I know 3 quarterbacks are going to go in the first 5 picks, probably even in the first 3 picks. So you're getting one of those top 3 wide receivers if you're within that top 6 and you need one. And certainly the Chargers and definitely the Cardinals need one right now.
Field, it New England trading out of 3, is that the deal they're offered dependent, or who's available at 3 for them to draft as far as the quarterback's concerned?
I think both factors are in play. I would be surprised if they end up moving off that number 3 pick for a few reasons. First, most notably, like, they're so desperate for a quarterback, guys. Like, they just need one. And, you know, my evaluation is not the same as their evaluation. So I'm not here telling you that, like, how I feel about Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams necessarily aligns with how they feel. I just got to figure that given how rich this quarterback class is, there's got to be 3 out of 4 that they like. There just has to be. Like, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I've completely missed the boat. But if you – and there is certainly a lure to moving down. We've seen teams really benefit from a move down from the top of the draft to, you know, somewhere further, deeper, somewhere deeper into the first-round order, whether it was the Miami trade a few years ago with San Francisco. That's the most notable one of late. But there have been others as well. That has a lot of benefit because you can fill out the rest of the roster. But finding a quarterback is the hardest thing to do in the sport. And part of that is because there aren't that many avenues to get there, right? Quarterbacks rarely leave in free agency. Kirk Cousins obviously did this year, but I mean, I can't imagine any time in their prime, somebody like Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, any of those guys end up hitting the true unrestricted free agency open market. Obviously Lamar was on a tag last year, but it happens so infrequently, like one-ish per year. So free agency is hard to find a quarterback. Trades are hard to find a quarterback. Makes you feel like the draft is the best method to find your quarterback. And while the draft has plenty of misses over the past, really any period you choose, whether it's a year, whether it's 10 years, whether it's 20 years, you name it, there are plenty of notable draft misses. That being said, there are still enough hits, and it's still the most valuable commodity in the sport when you do hit, that I think if I'm sitting at 3 and I'm the Patriots, I have to take a quarterback. Even if it's a bit of a roll of the dice, I'd be willing to make that roll.
So what are you, and Field Yates with us here, 98.7 ESPN, what are you hearing about Drake May? Because I talked to someone recently that said they were in touch with a lot of people in the NFL, like GM scouts, that said they just don't love Drake May, but then there's others that do. What have you heard about him?
Yeah, I think the bloom is off the rose a little bit relative to where we were going into the season. I mean, there was a legitimate conversation going into the college football season about whether Drake May would go ahead of Caleb Williams. His tape 2022 was spectacular. I mean, the numbers sick, the tape way better. He was just so good, and he was 20 years old going into the season. He just turned 21 back in January, so he's so young. There's a bit of a fool's errand here because you can't spend too much time hyper-analyzing every single thing that took place during a player's college career because it's so different than it will be in the pros. And yet you should also spend as much time hyper-analyzing as much stuff during the player's college career as you would think that would give you a good projection of how things are going to look in the NFL. So it's a little bit tricky in that regard. That being said, Drake, I think, has fallen clearly behind Jaden Daniels' eyes in the minds of NFL evaluators as quarterback 3. And there are who think J.J. McCarthy is ahead of Drake May. And my own evaluation is just that the upside for Drake is way too significant to ignore, even if imperfect. This is a bad analogy because I don't want to put this kind of pressure on any young quarterback. But even last year, there were questions. And I'm not saying everybody was sitting here saying this guy stinks. But there were people that were wondering whether C.J. Stroud should go. I mean, I know the betting markets can be a little bit those can be tricky in the draft order, but like I think Will Levis was the favorite on the day of the draft last year to go second overall ahead of C.J. Stroud. There were question marks about C.J. going into the process last year, and that obviously a year later looks a completely ridiculous thought. So, so much changes for these guys from college to the pros that my general feeling is that if you identify enough traits that are coachable and fixable, I would be willing to take a swing on a player given how dramatic the need is for the teams at the top of the order to find a quarterback.
The birthday boy, the very handsome, very talented 27-year-old Field Yates joins the show. Field, so my initial thought with the Jets at 10 was they need to draft an offensive lineman because I don't trust that Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses will stay healthy for the entirety of the season, and I need Aaron Rodgers protected. It feels like there's some steam being gained that I keep seeing Brock Bowers' name at 10, and I also see reports that it's going to be either a wide receiver, they may even trade up to 8 to get Rome Odunze if he's standing there, or Brock Bowers. What do you think they do, and what would you do if you were the Jets?
I would I think what they do and what I would do myself, a line. I would take an offensive lineman, guys. 12 different starting offensive line combinations last year. I think that was the most in the NFL. If not, it would be really hard to top it. And I get it. Some of that was performance driven. But the reality is that the injuries are going to hit your offensive line at some point during the season. You simply can't afford to not have depth. And whether it's Olu Fashanu, you know, Tali Fuaga, who kind of just feels like a Jet, Morgan State, those kind of players are too valuable and too worth that investment at pick number 10 to bypass, in my estimation. I love Brock Bowers as a prospect. That's not the point I'm trying to make here, is that he's not worth it. It's just, given this team's need, I feel as though Aaron is more capable of elevating the skill guys than he is the offensive line, because there's five of them he is relying upon that I would invest in the offensive line at pick number 10. And I don't care if the guy has to sit to start the season because the Jets have their penciled in starting five. It's worth it just in case.
Phil, you are the best. We appreciate you. We're going to watch you on ABC, the draft coverage. We listen to your First Draft podcast. Happy, happy birthday. Thanks for taking a few minutes out, and we will talk to you, I hope, very soon. But good stuff as always.
No problem, guys. I just want you to know, by the way.
Yeah.
I've got my ears and my eyes out. I've got my spy, my best friend from college, listening to Loyal Listener every day, all the way down from Raleigh, North Carolina, listening to the show every single morning. And he sits there, and he tells me you guys are talking smack. So just a heads up, you can do it, but I'm hearing it.
Well, I got to be honest. I don't remember what smack we talked, but
No, Rothenberg. No. It's more what? You, Rothenberg. I know yes. You think you could crush me in the college's game.
I do, but that's not smack.
And I go, we go way back. So no. Well, you can interpret it however you want to interpret it. So.
All right.
So you guys have my back, but I'm ready for the day. We're going to make this happen one day.
After the draft, we'll schedule that. But have a great draft. Enjoy it. Do well. We'll watch you on ABC, and you're the best, and we appreciate you. Thanks so much, as always.
Sounds good, yeah. I'll talk to you soon.
That, of course, is the birthday boy, Field Yates.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.